You may have your seats. Thank you so much, band. And thanks, everyone. Thanks, Manus and all the leaders for the prayers, and thanks to the congregation. There's really no better place to celebrate my birthday than in God's presence and with my spiritual family. So I'm really excited about that tonight. I just felt the Lord in the worship. Ilana, the worship was brilliant. All those golden old songs. Those were the songs that I sang when I came to salvation. And I actually felt, just to briefly actually share my testimony. This is, I'm 30 years old today, and I came to... Thanks for that. But the bigger thing is I came to salvation at the age of 20. So I'm actually celebrating 10 years of being saved. That's the better, the greater thing. So I'm going to quickly just share my testimony. I'll just be brief, and then we're going to do some celebration tonight. I was born in Johannesburg. Yes, really. I lived there for 6 years. The Lord just really speaks to me through numbers. So just note them specifically, the numbers or the years. So I stayed in Johannesburg for the first 6 years of my life. We moved to Mpumalanga. I stayed on a farm. Yes, Neil's getting excited. He's from Mpumalanga. Stayed there for another 6 years. Then we moved to Cape Town to Durbanville in the northern suburbs. And I stayed there for, now Ilana's getting excited. Stayed there for another 6 years. And then I moved to Stellenbosch. And I stayed 7 years in Stellenbosch. And that seven resembles to me God's entry into my life. God's coming into my life and saving me. And, you know, I was a student in the first couple of years, and especially the first year, the Stellenbosch culture really got hold of me. For those of you not familiar with Stellenbosch, there's a certain wine in Stellenbosch that they call Tassenberg. Who knows what Tassenberg is? Okay, Tassenberg is the cheapest wine that you can possibly get, and it's in Stellenbosch. My nickname was Tassenberg, or Tassies. Because whenever someone would find me in the streets, they would find a bottle of Tassenberg in my hands. And I went on for a couple of years. In my third year of varsity, my life was, in a mess. And I really knew that it was the case. I really knew I was lost. Only I didn't know what to do. And I tried to stop drinking because, my friends were, a bunch of wine farmers. So those guys could drink. But they called me an alky. So that just gives you an idea. But in that place, I really knew that something was wrong in my life. And I knew something had to change. And I would actually go to church, the church that I used to go to, the traditional church. But the sad thing is I went to church, and I went a couple of times. I sat at the back and I just listened to the sermon, and I left the church. But nobody ever told me that I was supposed to surrender my life to Jesus and this relationship in that. And my life went on like that. And I remember my mom is really a woman of faith, and she really prayed for me in that time. And she knew what happened in my life, and I can keep you busy with lots of stories. But my mom knew when I would go out and, party and everything happened. And, she would struggle to sleep, just one of the testimonies. But she would struggle to sleep at night, and then she'd pray for me. And as she prayed for me, the Lord, she couldn't sleep. She was restless and worried about what's happening with me. And as she prayed for me, the Lord showed her a picture of me in the, in the streets at the pubs and everything. And Jesus with me. And taking me and putting me on his shoulders and taking me home. And then she had peace, and she could go back to sleep and rest. And I cannot tell you how many times, I don't know how I got back home, and you know, I know for a fact that Jesus carried me in that time. He saved me. And then in my third year, one of my friends came to salvation, and he had made a promise he was going to join a small group, so he invited me. So I said, no, I don't think really, you know, that thing's not for me. I don't really like to pray before people. In fact, I was very fearful of doing that. In any case, he said, no, I'm going to make you a deal. So what we're going to do is we're going to have a couple of drinks, Brandewijn, and then we're going to go to small group, and then afterwards we'll continue. You know, we'll drink on. So that was my first small group. I went there with a couple of drinks, and I was just relaxed enough. Any case, so I can keep you busy, but I just want to get to the point. And I remember coming, that small group was very weird to me. But there was something in the people, in their eyes. When I looked at their eyes, there was something different. I knew Jesus, I knew the Bible, I knew everything, but I knew that those people, something in their eyes said that there was something different in their lives that I didn't have, and it was so attractive. Even though it was weird people, they spoke about Jesus, and I wasn't used to it, and you know, it was weird, you know, they hear God's voice and this and that. And I thought it was very weird, but I just, every week I would go back, even though I would go continue partying and doing things. And then one day they invited me to this meeting, the perspectives that we do. And I sat in the meeting, and I was so overwhelmed, because of course you know the scriptures, you know that God loves you. But in that moment, I realized He loves me. I knew it was the truth. Everyone said it at school and everywhere. He loves the whole world. But that moment, His love became real to me. And I remember I gave my life to God. I got filled with the Holy Spirit. I did the encounter series that we have today. I did them all in 6 weeks' time. I did everything. And that previous, actually before the perspectives, I still went out and I was drinking the previous night. And that was the last time I ever drank, because the next morning I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And that need, that desire, and you know, I found my identity and all of those things in that. But that day was the day that I found my identity in God. You know, and God has done amazing stuff in that. And since then, you know, just walking with Him, restoration, and you know, here I'm standing today, and God is still awesome. I hear His voice every day. So I want to just give Him glory here tonight. You know, for the 10 years that I've walked with Him, how He's intervened literally daily. You know, some days I wouldn't make if it wasn't for God. So I want to just give Him glory right here at the start of this evening. All right, so I want to check two quick scriptures with you, just of encouragement, and then we're going to just celebrate this year. This year has really been a year of birthing. We've started with a lot of new things this year as a church. A lot of babies. And, well, yes, I didn't even pick that up, but yes, that's actually funny. Because I started this year with my wife being pregnant, and I'm ending this year with my wife being pregnant. I don't know how many people can say that. But I wasn't even thinking about that, but thanks, Janelle. A lot of ministries have started in the church this year, and we're going to just quickly run through them. I'm not going to share anything. We're going to have some people coming to testify what God has done in their lives through these ministries, and just sharing that. Just quickly, the scripture, two scriptures, 1 Thessalonians 1, 2 to 9. It's a large portion. But just please bear with me as I'm going to read through it, and I'll come back to three specific points. We give thanks to God always for all, making mention of you in our prayers, Paul writing to the Thessalonian church. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father. Knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and in Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord is sounded forth, not only in Macedonia, in Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that you do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from the idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. And I just believe there's a couple of things I want to quickly go run through. I'm not going to spend enough time on the scripture as I would like to, but just three specific points. Verse 3 says, we remember, and that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to remember the work of faith, the labor of love, and the patience of hope. That word hope there means, it doesn't mean a wishful thinking. It doesn't mean optimism about something, but it means a hope and an expectation in a certain fact. That's literally what the word means, an expectation in a fact that is certain. And then it goes on and it talks about the fact that the gospel did not come in word only, but it came in power. All right? And the things that we do, the things that we put our hand to, you know, in other words, it's we're not just saying things, but God comes and we're involved and we partner with God in the things that we do, and the power of God is displayed in and through that. And then he goes on and he talks about the joy of the Holy Spirit. But what I really believe God is encouraging us with regards to the scripture and with regards to where we are as a spiritual family is the next part in verse 8. It says that the works that you do is going to be sounded forth. It's going to be made mentioned to those that are around you, the things that happen that you see. And we're going to really embrace and celebrate the things that God is doing in our midst. But I believe that there's a place where God wants to amplify what he is doing in the midst of us so that the whole world can see it. So that Cape Town can see and discover what God is doing in our midst. And then it goes on, it talks about a complete surrender where God removes idols with the expectation of his Son coming back and being raised from the dead, and living in that expectation of resurrection life. And the next scripture, Isaiah 66 verse 9 says, shall I bring to the time of birth and not cause delivery, says the Lord? Shall I who cause delivery shut up the womb, says the Lord? In other words, what God is saying is, would he birth something? Would he birth something in our midst and not finish the work? Not finish what he's started? So I'm really excited because we're going to celebrate a whole list of things that has started this year, the hospital ministry, amplified the mission that's happening, and lots of other things. But I just believe the Lord is saying to us that this is only the start. This is the first year of doing these things, but he wants to take it so that the peoples can begin to see it. And I'm really excited. And actually the first thing I want to celebrate, you guys won't, or most of you won't know, but at the moment we're having our first mother's service. We've got about 10 mothers that's down in the office, and they having just the getting together time for mothers, and you know, people visiting as well. But I'm really excited because the Lord is sending us people from different faiths, from people that haven't heard the gospel, Islam people, Hindu people. So I'm really excited about what God is doing. So the first thing that we want to celebrate is hospital ministry. Ministry that we started, and Jason's going to quickly share testimony on that. Just want to say, of course, we can only share a couple of testimonies tonight. If we had time, we would have shared the whole night. There's so many things that God has done, but thanks, Jason.
That's funny, because when Esty asked me to share a testimony, I said, how many can I share? She said, just one. So I'm just going to share a quick testimony from hospital ministry. We joined Inga 2 weeks ago, our small group joined the hospital ministry at Groteske. And before we do it, we pray and we just trust God for word and trust God to tell us where we must go. And we just felt God saying, let's go to the oncology ward, the cancer ward. And he said that to Inga as well, I think, to Johan. So anyway, so we went to the oncology ward. And we're just chatting to the nurses, getting their permission to go and pray for people. And God said, no, I must go and pray for this little boy. So we went to Christ and we chatted to him, introduced ourselves, and asked him what his name was. He said, it's Siam Tanda. We asked him, how old are you? He said he was 20 and what the problem was. And he said, no, he had bone cancer. And my heart just broke for him. He's 20 and he's got cancer and he's got this whole life ahead of him. Anyway, so we asked him kind of what the problem, what we could pray for. And he said, no, he's got pain in his back and he's also got pain in his chest. So he said, okay, we're going to pray for you. And so the three of us prayed for him. And afterwards we said, okay, how are you feeling now? And he said, no, the pain in his back is gone. And so we're like, awesome. And then we're like, how about the pain in your chest? So he was like, yeah, sort of. So took some tips from Rainer. He's like, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much pain is left? Well, he was like, yeah, 8 out of 10. So we're like, cool, we'll pray for that 2 out of 10. So we prayed for him, and afterwards we're like, how are you doing? He was like, it's gone. He was like, really, it's gone. So yeah, that was very cool. And it was just interesting, before we prayed for him, I asked him, what does your name mean? And he said, it means we love that boy. And before that, while we're praying, God said to me, love what I love and hate what I hate. And yeah, like God loves that boy, but he hates to see him in pain and suffering. So it's such a cool opportunity just to go in and love people and to see them relieved from their pain and suffering. Yeah. Amen.
Okay, so the next thing I'm actually going to share on it, I wasn't personally there, but I'm sharing on behalf of Liana. some of the ladies in church, Isabelle and Anae, started with the initiative of a bunch of married ladies getting together in their wedding dresses and going. This year they went to Constantia. So there's a picture of them up there. And what I want to just quickly share on is Liana afterwards, she posted a lot of some of the photos on Facebook. And she was amazed to see how many people replied and responded and, was interested in the event and said that they want to definitely join. And actually afterwards, the lady said they're going to do this again. But Liana had so many messages of people all over the country saying if they're going to do it again, they must invite them. So next year, they want to do this again, but invite like ladies all over, all in the shofar ranks and all over, all married ladies to put on their wedding dresses. And to go together in a public space, and I want to go to a private venue. And the reason for this is I don't know if you've noticed, but marriage is sort of very under attack these days and very unpopular. But we want to start a culture where people celebrate marriage again. So next year, imagine 100, 300 ladies in their wedding dresses going to, Mount Nelson or wherever. Liana wants to go to approach some sort of a place, approach the media even, and really make a big thing of it. And really, put it out there and put marriage up on a pedestal, and saying this is what we stand for. We're excited and even maybe do a bit of a walk in town. I don't think they're going to walk too far. but that's really something that is really exciting. The next thing is the youth. Michelle is going to share on the youth event.
Hello, everyone. I'm sharing on the youth event. Last, I think it was like Thursday, I think one Thursday ago, we went into a high school, Heritage College. Three of the students from Heritage College are actually here tonight. Yeah, it was really sure. It was really eye-opening and quite exciting. We just basically held an event there, Amplified, where the children and where the youth could connect with God. It was just a space for them to encounter God and just to see God for who He really is, and not someone who's trying to like beat them for their sins or whatever. And what was really just so cool for me is just to see how teenagers had such capacity to really open up their hearts and just to accept God. Because I think when we think teenagers, we think rebellious, hard ground, and like these kids that just don't want to listen. But their hearts are soft and they are seeking. And like Pastor D got saved in third year, but now we have there's an opportunity for teenagers to get saved at 13, 14, 15. We don't have to wait until people get to varsity, because God has commissioned us and God has opened doors for us to go into like high schools and stuff. And I just also want to share that like it's really not hard to connect with a teenager, because just to know that God has a desire for them to be saved and God does want to save them is quite exciting. Cool.
Okay, I am the next exciting testimony. Antonio, you can float the picture. So, So, many of you are wondering why everybody is laughing. So, we're a group of girls called the Willing Hearts, or the Happy Hearts, for those of us that can't remember who we are. And we got an invitation a couple of weeks ago from all the married ladies with strict instructions to wear ball gowns. I mean, ball gown. And dress up beautifully, and we're going to be in Plumstead, and we're going to get picked up. So there was quite a lot of speculation. Some of them argued perhaps the married ladies are going to take us to task because we don't know how to cook or sort ourselves out. And there were some other ones, perhaps they're going to have some camels ready, put us on it and send us off to our Isaacs and Rebeccas. So we greeted each other beforehand, not knowing whether we're going to return. It was quite exciting. And then we got a call. All of us got together in Plumstead. We got dressed up and we were 13 girls in total, in our ball gowns and our makeup and our hair. It must have been quite frightening for any gentleman just running in there. And we got a call saying our driver's outside. Now we're like, is it going to be a camel? What's going to happen? So we all walk out and Kenny is standing there dressed to the T in a tuxedo. Now we're like, so we get into the Sprinter and the ride, we don't know where we're going. We don't know what's going to happen. So everybody's chattering. And Kenny raced to our secret destination. There's not general consensus about it, but we argue we circled the Newlands Claremont circle at high speed between 5 and 7 times, going round and round and round and round. Yeah, we nearly didn't look that hot when we got there. And then they drove with us and we still didn't know where we were going, stopping at random places, jumping out, jumping back in. And then we finally stopped at the shofar office. As we opened the door, it was one of those angels singing in the background voices with a light pouring in. The only thing all of us ladies sitting in our ball gowns see are vast amounts of gentlemen standing in tuxedos. I think one of the ladies shouted, "It's true! It's true!" So now half of us are just like, "Oh my soul," and the other half is quite excited. And then there was gentlemen that we've never seen before, standing with umbrellas, escorting us up into the venue with more gentlemen standing there that we've never seen before. With roses, and we all sit down. Now we have no idea what to do. I mean, there's just men in tuxedos everywhere and us in ball gowns. And it was the most incredible evening. And what the married ladies had done is they'd organized a secret formal for us where they had literally invited guys from all around just to be, I don't actually know how to describe it to you, but literally we felt like queens and princesses the entire evening. The guys danced with us. They dished up our food for us. We were literally just floating around in our ball gowns, which you do. When you're wearing a ball gown, you float. You don't walk ever, really. And it was an incredible evening where we danced. I think all of us were broken the next day. I mean, we haven't danced for 4 or 5 hours uninterruptedly for a while. And yeah, we just want to thank all the married ladies, because we left there feeling so celebrated. And we're all here. We didn't leave on camels in the end, which some of us are quite thankful for. But it was an incredible experience for us just to feel celebrated and feel like a princess. And they had all these icebreakers. Please go and ask the ladies about the icebreakers where we had to dance with 17 different guys, like incessantly for 4 hours and be broken the next day. But we just want to honor our leadership, really. It was an incredible evening, and we all left so refreshed and so, you know, like Disney-style princesses at the end of the day. So that's my testimony. And then Vinay is going to be next.
Intercession. Okay, I'm sharing about the fruit of intercession. A few weeks ago, we had the conference, and me and Liana and Stefani, we had to do a dance. And firstly, we had 4 weeks to prepare. And if you know about choreography, that's nothing if you're working from scratch. And secondly, I got sick the week before the conference, and I didn't get better until on the day that we were supposed to do the dance. And we were supposed to do a stage rehearsal, and I couldn't do a jump. My heart felt like it was going up in my throat, and one of the people said, no, you're not going to dance now, you're just going to walk through it. And I was like, but I have to. Like, that's where my confidence was, like, I have to be able to do it before I do it. And before we went on stage, almost the whole church got together and prayed for us. And yeah, they were like 30 people. And yeah, it was according to them, it was an awesome session. Yeah, just God came powerfully and he told them what to pray for. And yeah, when we got on stage, it literally felt like I was flying. I didn't feel like I was sick at all. And yeah, I just want to highlight the importance of all the awesome anointing that there is in praying together as a church and standing behind the people. Thank you.
Okay, hello. I'm Anne. I'm going to talk about the prophetic activation thing. I'm super nervous. Anyway, let me think. Okay, I got saved about like 11 years ago, and I always heard all these people praying for you, and then they've got like lots of visions and words and all kinds of cool stuff that I also wanted. God does speak to me through dreams, but if you need to go and pray for somebody in front of the church, you can't go to bed and quickly dream and, you know. Anyway, so that's... Anyway, so I am normally a little bit nervous about that. So our small group had a prophetic activation session with Marichen and Hugh and Esty, and we needed, what they did is they gave, like, we were five or six girls together, so they gave all of us a number, and then we had to pick two numbers out of a pocket or something, and then you need to pray for the two numbers. So I was like freaking out, because like now I can't even ask this number what they want me to pray for. Anyway, so I just prayed in tongues, and then I just felt peace, lots of freak out, and then I like rock rustig, you know. So I felt peace, wrote that down, next one, and then I'm just like sitting there and I'm like, wow, that was quite quick. Quickly freaked out, and then got peace again, and now I'm sitting here and I can't get anything else for this other number. Anyway, afterwards, when everybody like knew who they have to pray, like everybody shared what they have for the numbers, the things I felt was the same things, but I was actually confirming what the other people also felt. So God did speak to me, and now I actually know he does speak to me. More than one way, not just in dreams. And I don't have to go and sleep every time before I pray for somebody. So I think that's it. So he does speak to all of us.
Yes, I'm also speaking about prophetic activation. I'm part of the prophetic group, and we went to a small group. And same as what Anais said, you have numbers, you pray for numbers. And when we got to, they revealed the what they prayed for, the prophetic word and whatever. And the two girls that prayed, they like really didn't believe that they heard anything from the Lord. The one girl had pictures and the other girl just had words. And I was like, okay, no, but God really speaks to everyone. And so they read it to me. And both of them were like answering things that I was praying about in my quiet time. You know, like, how do I get peace with you? How do I, things like that, just answering it in simple ways. And it's like really like the one was speaking to the other and the other was speaking to the other. So it's like working together and answering together. And it's just like how sometimes you hear a word and it doesn't make sense at all. You like think, okay, that's totally just from my own mind. And then when you actually say it, it's just like, oh my head, that like someone said that to me like 2 days ago, and it just works together. It's just like we see in part, but God totally see in full. And it's like to trust, just to trust that little voice. And it just is so amazing. Just yeah, just like the two girls, they didn't really believe like that they can hear, and they were really speaking into my heart. And it just yeah, just super special and amazing. And just for them as well, being able to know, okay, I can hear God's voice. That was cool.
Okay, hi everyone. I'm Tara, and my better half, Johan, is over there. And we were recently in Thailand in October for a twofold purpose, for a holiday, very nice, and for mission, which was awesome. Rainer and Liana commissioned us, and Johan's parents are also missionaries, and they work in Thailand, India, and China. So, yeah, we were in Chiang Rai, which is northern Thailand. Just a quick, brief history on Thailand. Thai actually means free, so Thailand, free land. And it's very ironic because Thailand is very oppressed. If you look at the people, it's known as also as the land of smiles. They have a smile on their face, but you can just sense that sadness, that deep oppression. And the main strongholds are Buddhism, the king and queen. They idolize the king and queen, and the military or the army. And yeah, you can really just see that influence on the people, and it's just so sad. But what was also awesome for me was just how God is working in Asia. Like, we have no idea. And when we got there, it was just so awesome to see the few Christians that are there. It's obviously, I think, Johan's the brain in our marriage. What percentage is Buddhism? Yeah, 90-odd% is Buddhist. So there's a very few Christians. And yeah, the main thing for me was amazing was going to the children's homes. There are Christian children homes, and they're either orphaned or their parents are very poor and send them to these homes so the homes can look after them. And wow, they really have nothing. If you think you know poverty, until you get there, you have no idea. These children have nothing. They sleep on the floor, or they have a little mattress, they have like 5 items of clothing, and that is it, and maybe a pencil for school. And wow, God really just broke my heart. And yeah, the compassion that I had for these children, I mean, they can barely speak English, but oh my word, God really broke my heart, and it was amazing. And yeah, just gave me like a love for these people, and just also because the culture is so unfamiliar, and we don't know them from a bar of soap, but God loves them, and it was just amazing. And yeah, so that was a bit of a summary for Thailand, and yeah, just awesome. And oh yes, the reason why we're commissioned is also for potential mission in the future. So we never know. We'll see what happens. Cool.
How's it? I just want to share a personal testimony about Bible school. Yeah, this has been quite a challenging year for me. A lot of stuff's changed, and some of the guys know what's going on, but I got an opportunity to do second semester Bible school, and that was quite a challenge as well. Committing the Tuesday night, Tuesdays half price movies, gotta give some stuff up, so the one it was one of the last sessions that we had, Liana was doing praise and worship with us. And the second half, the last session was more just the worship side of things. And like that evening, I was a bit distracted with stuff from work. And I was just like, yo, okay, well, let me just come. Let me just go through what we have to do. And then they did a practical thing with Esty on the piano. And we were going to now do a practical worship event thing. And yeah, Liana was like sort of led us in it and said, all right, now just imagine Jesus standing in front of you and he's got something, a gift in his hand for you. What is that gift? And I'm like thinking, yeah, you know, I don't really see things, pictures and stuff. But almost immediately, I just saw Jesus standing there and he had his hands open and I saw like his nail-scarred hands. And I was like, okay, so the second question was, why would you give this gift to me? And I immediately heard God saying, because he loves me. And I was like, okay, cool. God loves me. But then, you know, it's still like, it hadn't hit home yet. And then the third question was, but why? And I was like, okay, so Lord, why do you love me? And I just felt him saying, because you're worth it. And, you know, like sometimes it sucks and life's hard and stuff, but God loves each and every one of us. And he really, you know, if you're having a hard time, it's actually worth, you are worth his time. And he really does love you. So, you know, just don't give up.
Hello, church. I was in the Amplified Mission. And yeah, this other day we went to the train station. We were just praising and worshiping in there, and after a while we just went out and ministered to people. And then I met this little guy, I think he was 7 years old. His name was Leroy, and he was like very sad, like a very sad guy. And he was actually asking me for money because they are homeless and stuff. And then we ended up praying for him. And yeah, I tried talking to him. I was just not getting through. Then I just asked him if I could pray for him. So I just prayed for the little guy, and after a while, he started smiling, you know, and I said, what's happening? And he's like, he didn't say anything. He was just smiling. And I said, is something happening in your heart? And he's like, he just nodded. He wasn't saying anything. And yeah, I sort of became more confident. And then I just spoke to him about Jesus and how he came to save us from our sins and how he wants to be the Lord of your life. And then I just asked him if he would like to ask Jesus to come into his heart and be his Lord and Savior. And yeah, he said yes. And so I led him in the prayer and he asked the Lord Jesus to come into his heart. And then what just stood out for me was that I usually just walk past homeless people. I'm like, I don't have anything to give you. And then right there, I just thought, well, I have something to give them, because that joy, I could have just walked away. But then when I left, he had joy and he had Jesus in his heart. And yeah, it was just, that's what I learned something from that.
Yeah, I'm going to share the second testimony about Amplified. Yeah, it's been a crazy 2 weeks. Eh? Yo, you wake up not knowing what you're going to do the whole day, but it's, yeah, we have a great leader though. It's been good. Our leaders have been amazing. I think if I were to conclude what we've learned in this whole mission, I think TP shared it during the week. He said, we're tasting the first fruits of revival. And I mean, there's so many testimonies that we can share, but like, I just choose one. So on Friday, we went to club ministry. It was meant to be club ministry, but it was too rainy. So we were all soaked. So we didn't, we went to Cavendish instead. So it's only fair. We should confess our sins. We're in church. I think we had a session before, because most of our hearts were not there yet. We were like, the flesh was dying. I think it was not dead yet, but like we were manifesting, most of us. We were like, no, I'd rather be at home than walking around with wet socks. And but like we shared and we decided to go to start worshiping, and we found a quiet spot and we started worshiping. And what was cool about that, like, these three learners from Bishops came across, and I mean, like, one of those ladies just really touched my heart. So we were just worshiping, and we were walking across, and they just asked us what we were doing. So some of the team stayed worshiping, and some of us started ministering to them. And One of them has such a desire to meet with God. And yeah, so he asked, can we pray for them? We explained what we're doing. We're an Amplified mission. This is what we're doing. We've been doing the whole week. And we asked if we could pray for them. They said, yes, open door. So we pray for them. We bless them. They said they're writing it, studying exams on Monday, just tomorrow. So we pray for them. And I think one of the lighters that changed my heart, or to touch my heart, was his name is Dopey. He heard that we were praying in tongues. And he so desired, because he knew about it, he seems to have a church background. So he asked us to, well, normally you minister to people, you ask for, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, then you pray for them, then you explain who the Holy Spirit is and all that. But he asked us to pray for the Holy Spirit. And that's the fruits of revival in a way that TP shared about earlier. So we prayed for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he started praying in tongues. And he also like told his friends that were with him, like, did you want to experience this? So like, because his friends know him. So like, he was like, were you making it up? He was explaining, like, I was just, words were coming out of my mouth. I couldn't control it. I didn't know what was going on. So his friend came as well. He prayed in the Holy Spirit. He prayed in tongues. Like, he got touched so much. And I think one of his last words was, he was touched so much that he's going to share his testimony with his pastor. I think for me, it was that story in the Bible where the woman at the wall meets Jesus and goes and changes his town. Oh, well, her town, sorry. That's revival. And yeah, God is amazing.
Hello, everybody. Hi. I'm also going to share about Amplified Mission. So, I joined the mission last week, Friday, and it was a difficult week. It was very stretching in many different ways, but also really fantastic. So on Tuesday, we went to the train station, like Nasha was talking about. So before that, we had intercession in the morning, and we're like trusting God for words. What do you want us to do today? Where are we going? And we had so many seemingly random things, like green grass and 6 o'clock and homeless people. It was just like everything was over the place. So two of the words that we got was God was going to give us a breakthrough at 6 o'clock, and that he would confirm the things that he wanted us to do there by sending us a man of peace. So like we're moving along the day, and Johan had given us a message that morning about perseverance. So we're persevering throughout the day. We had lots of opportunities to persevere. So we met homeless people and we're praying for them. We got confirmations for some of the words we'd gotten. Then we finally got to the train station and we were just worshiping. And at that point, I was like mentally checked out of the mission. We had just taken a long train ride and was like people everywhere in your space. So I was really just speaking to God a lot in my heart and like asking God a lot of questions about why am I here and what are you actually doing here and are you doing something here, and yeah, just a lot of stuff. And then Blessing came to tap my shoulder to ask me to pray for this one lady who says she had come to join our worship thingy because she's a spirit-filled Christian, but she felt led to come to us because she realized that her love for God had grown cold and that she used to be an evangelist and she used to do the sort of stuff that we were doing. So she came and she asked for someone to pray with her. We prayed for her with TP and prophesied over her. And it was at about 6 o'clock. And it turns out she works for Parliament and she wants us to come and pray in Parliament. And I was like, it was amazing because it was politics, which I'm just like crazy about. And just seeing the fruits of intercession and knowing that even when you feel like God shows you, cotton candy or something and you think it's random, just knowing that God speaks to us in so many different ways and that it all comes together, like it absolutely doesn't need to make sense in our own minds. It's just an obedience thing and just going to God while your flesh is dying, like Lizzie was talking about. And it was really special for me that we've gotten an opportunity now to go and pray in Parliament. And she wants us to go and pray for people to be healed and do treasure hunts in Parliament. It's like crazy. And yeah, God is awesome.
Cool.
I think the only appropriate response now is to thank God, is gratitude. So I want us to just quickly, practically, just turn to each other. And I know there's lots of stories here. I know many of us, you know, you were sitting and thinking, but I've got a testimony I want to share. But I want to ask us to just in groups of two, three, or four, just spend some time thanking God for every testimony, everything that He's done, every ministry that He's birthed, every person that was touched, every salvation that has happened this year. All right, so if we can quickly just where you are, just turn to the people around you. And if I can ask Marnus and the people that want to get baptized, if you guys can quickly meet me in front. Even if you didn't organize to get baptized, you're also welcome to join us here. All right.